right, here we are again. This is Venue Music again, and today we are in Würzburg talking to Daiso Fluid, the support band of Eisbrecher for the whole tour, right?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So, please, can you introduce yourselves for one time?
Okay, yeah. Well, my name's Grog, and I'm vocals and bass of Daiso Fluid.
I'm Drew, and I'm the guitarist.
And I am Al, and I play the drums.
So you're an original three-piece band.
That's right, with a classic
power
trio.
Cool. Yeah, that's absolutely cool. Most interesting thing to me, what I read on your website, is you try to keep basically everything in your own hands, right?
Wherever possible, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of becomes more difficult as time goes on because there's more to do, you know. So we do have lots of people helping us now, but we do basically keep control.
But you're not on this old dream. Okay, we get a record contract and then everything's going to be fine. So
that's just not true anymore. It's just not the case.
Yeah. how did you? Maybe for the other bands out there, very interesting. How did you come to such possibilities like this tour then, when you don't have a record company behind you?
Well, we license our music to labels, so we own the copyright to it.
Okay.
So labels do get involved, and in Germany, we're licensing through Tiefdruck Music, and they're really great guys, and...
They have to say this because the guy's in the room now.
She's listening.
She? Excuse me.
Yeah, so they hooked us up with this tour, basically. So.
But, with reference to, bands who want to start up, look for someone with a lot of money and, maybe don't want to, give it all to the tax man. Maybe want to invest in something, interesting.
Like a tour or
in a band,
yeah.
And take their money, because I mean at the end of the day, we've done, we don't sort of like just rest on those sort of laurels. We do as much as we possibly can ourselves, but you get to a situation where you need some money, and we've been fortunate all the way along to find people at the right time who've just wanted to invest in us.
I think your music is a very wild mixture of a lot of different styles, so we don't need to talk about how would you describe your music. It's energy loaded rock music with a taste of different periods. Is that right? Would you say the same?
Yeah,
because what I heard is a little bit of grunge, a little bit of rock and roll there, a little bit of metal here, a little bit of something new that I can't really put into a box.
The only way really we can describe it, I think, these days is just to call it like innovative rock music, because you just have to hear it, really.
Exactly. Yeah. So it pretty much sounds like you don't have one songwriter, right?
No, I mean, we don't have one songwriter. I mean, there's some songs which Grog will write on her own.
Yeah, occasionally, but I just kind of... One just comes,
but,
to life.
Yeah, most of the time it's a collaboration between the three of us.
Mm.
So.
Oh, no, I lost it.
We lost it a long time.
That's why we're here. You were talking on your website again about a song or a record. You kind of, oh shit, we've done now everything we possibly could. Where do we go from here now?
That was when we wrote Gang of One.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It
made me laugh a little bit. So.
Well, it wasn't just where do we go from here. I just wanted to tell everyone else to give up. I just thought this song's perfect. No one's going to beat it. Just all stop, go and get day jobs, But fortunately, the next day, I thought, actually, maybe this...
One of those recordings.
I was wrong. But, it's just one of those great moments, which is why you want to be a musician, is to sort of create something that, for me, it felt like I'd been working 3 years just to get to that point, and now... We're on another journey trying to... And again, we've just finished recording the third album, and to my mind, it's going to be the best one yet. I mean, it's definitely the best body of songs, sounds, playing everything about it's going to be like, you know, five times better than the last album.
So what is the top you're reaching for when you say, okay, this song, you had the idea, okay, we've done it, that's it, that's the best thing we possibly can do, stop it,
yeah.
So what's the goal you're heading for?
Yeah. It's like a game show.
I mean,
we have to try and surpass ourselves with each song.
Just asking, because some people are looking for the perfect pop song or for the most aggressive song. Or is there anything you're looking for during the songwriting that you say, okay, we want aggression and melody, like, perfect fitting together? Or
I just want something that's going to, you know, inspire such emotions when people hear it that they're just going to be reduced to a puddle of piss and tears right there on the floor. You know, and I don't see why that's not possible.
Yeah.
Okay, something so beautiful, you know, people just kind of implode, you know, it's like their heart sucks them
start
in.
Start crying and they don't want to live no more.
Yeah, that's it, you know.
So you want to end the world with your music.
No, well, sort of.
Part of the world.
Yeah, end the world as it is, start something better.
Is that kind of the thing that keeps you going? Like, believe in a revolution that's going to happen one day?
No, but I do genuinely believe. I mean, I used to feel sort of guilty about being a musician, thinking I should be doing something a bit more useful, you know?
Okay.
But nowadays I sort of think, well, actually it is really useful, because there's so many people sort of putting evil and, you know, ugly things into the world, that all artists, you know, are kind of fighting a war to put beautiful things into the world, and it's kind of something everybody needs to, you know, people who are doing useful jobs, so they've got a reason for living and something to inspire them and something for them to enjoy and you know, think that the world's worth, you know, saving.
Grok, are you writing the lyrics?
Yes.
Is it a very personal thing, or are you writing about interesting things in general? How do you describe yourself there?
Well, they usually start from a very personal angle, and then it's kind of a thing that I do with my lyrics, is they kind of open out into a larger subject later. And I try to do that on purpose so that people can relate to something that might touch.
Do you always keep a part of the truth for yourself, or do you let it all out?
Well, I don't name names. It doesn't get that personal. But I would say that, yeah, most of my songs have a very personal connection for me, but there's no point in me really kind of explaining that part of it to everybody.
But you don't try to keep it back, so we're open-minded there. Yeah.
But I think it's a really important thing that you do discuss kind of taboo subjects in songs, and, you know, those are the things that people all go through and can relate to.
You've been playing a lot. I read like some years or 2 years, 300 shows or something. So you've been around a lot. Are there special places where you say, okay, this is better for our music? Like, for instance, in England, it's not as cool as for example, in Germany or somewhere else. Is there a region where you say, okay, there our music is really working good, and in other countries we will have to work harder?
I think the best instant response we've got has been in America. But I don't know if that's specifically to do with, you know, what we do, or just that the crowds are, it just seems that, you know, rock and roll is their culture. You know, here in Germany, you've got a very rich culture that goes back hundreds and hundreds of years. In America, they don't, you know, and they've got a very sort of proud attitude towards rock and roll, and very proactive, and they really appreciate you coming and playing, especially if you've travelled from afar. So for us, I mean, certainly it was, you know, an instant response. Germany, we're just starting out, so it's hard to say, but the response so far has been really good.
We haven't done many shows here yet, so, you know, we're finding our feet here, but I mean, so far the reception's been great.
I mean, and also the reception to the records, you know, has been really sort of better than anywhere else in the world. It's been here.
I just wanted to talk to you. We're talking to the drummer now, because he hasn't said a word so far.
I'm taking it all in.
Why are you in the band?
I don't know, really.
You woke up and, whoa, what am I going to do? Oh, yes, going to be a drummer.
Just general misfortune, you know.
How did you meet this band then?
Through being in other bands and
not knowing what to do
scene.
There.
Okay. You know, you just in London and
we nicked him off another band.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's all you do there.
Well, he's a great drummer, and you know, we used to go and see his old band play, and we kind of always kind of secretly wished he was playing for us.
But yeah, what actually happened was I was in this band, and it went well in America for a while, but it went wrong in the end. Anyway, cut a long story short, it kind of folded down, but the guitarist met up with me, and he was convinced he had some big tour was going to come up, right? And he got this sorted, and we were going to get it back on the road again. And so he was telling me all this, and in a club, and I was talking to Drew, and Drew invited me to come and play with these guys. And I was going, well, I'm not sure. I was supposed to be going to do this too. And just as I said it, my friend dear from the old band was being carried out by the bouncers, unconscious, like, and just thrown into a pile on the floor outside. And I was just like, oh, fuck.
Okay, don't want to do this again.
I'm not going to do it anymore. So it was pretty much like that, really.
That's a good reason being in the band. Drew, as the guitar player, you said before it's very original being a three piece, but why did you guys decide to be so? Because not many bands do it nowadays. It's a lot about samples, thousands of instruments on stage. Is it a guitar player ego thing? You want to be alone? Or what?
Yes.
Why?
He's an egomaniac. We can't control him.
Not really. I mean, it's kind of, I mean, because the basis of what I do is trying to fill out the sound with chords. I'm just very much a chord player. So it's not like, you know, it's giving me space to be, you know, a virtuoso. But it just worked. You know, before we did have another guitarist, and that didn't work out. Before the band started properly, we tried that. And it's just, I don't know, it's like when the three of us started playing together, we thought, well, that's it, that's all we really need.
Something just happens when the three of us play together. It's just such a big sound. We did actually experiment once, didn't we? And we had some second guitar players down to play with us, to kind of audition and try it out. And it just doesn't work. It's just, it makes it kind of muddier, and it's actually more powerful with less instruments. So...
That's what it sounds like.
We have to veto that idea. It's worth trying it.
Yeah.
That's the kind of band we are, actually. We'll always try something rather than just go, oh, no, I can't be bothered, you know. We're quite
I'm certainly not against it if, you know, in the future we wanted to add more sounds live. But in terms of writing and recording, we don't really need anyone else.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, Grog's a fantastic keyboard player as well. So if we ever need to do that on the record, she does it, and then we invite other people in on the record. We had an incredible Egyptian string player on the last album, and you know, I've got this guy playing this 75-year-old mandolin on this new record, and so you know, no problem having guests on, but you don't need it live. And if we get to the point where we need it live, then maybe we'll just find someone who wants to come along and tour, you know.
I mean, if I couldn't play bass, then it would be a four piece.
Yeah, sure, right. Obviously.
Which is something that nobody ever mentions.
Yeah, it wouldn't be so unusual, really.
But then because you just wouldn't say, oh, you're a, you know, because it would sound the same, I suppose, if you had a good bass player. But I think there is something about when you're singing and playing that it just makes it that much more kind of dynamic, you know.
Yeah. Because you have to. Was it hard for you? How long do you do now? Singing and playing.
Well, I'm lucky because it comes quite naturally. But I've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, so, it's naturally
anyway
now.
Hopefully, I've improved over the years.
you said this is like your first time in Germany. What do people, after hearing this or after seeing the Eisbrecher tour, what do they have to expect of a Daiso Fluent live show, an average Daiso Fluent live show?
At the moment, it's really just about good music. I think what we've got is an element of traditional rock songwriting, but then a very fresh approach to sounds, and just a again to songwriting. There's two elements to it. So I think it's more about whether you're a music fan at the moment. When we get the budget, then we'll like do all the fire breathers and
okay. Let's talk about the dreams. How much stuff is there going to be on stage when there is the budget?
We're going to have like a massive shark tank, right? And that's going to like at some point in the set break. It doesn't really break, but everyone in the front row is going to get wet, and there'll be like sharks all wriggling around on stage. But there'll be real sharks, all wet. You know,
so animatronics.
We do all stuff like that.
Well, that's a good one. Never seen this before. Yeah.
Exactly. You know?
So. But I would really like to have a quite, you know, impressive light show and use lots of interesting things on stage if we had the budget, definitely. Because one of the things about being just the three of us is I'm kind of, you know, I'm always planted near to the mic stand. So as much as I'd like to do like somersaults, you know, across the stage, I'm always, you know, ready to get back to sing the next line. So, and I think we really, well, Drew and I, we like making videos. You like making videos, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think that side of it really interests us. So, yeah, one day we can dream about what we're going to do on stage.
Is it different back home? Because you have, well, more people coming to the shows, or you have another budget there?
No, money wise, we're probably better off over here.
Yeah.
The shows have sort of reached a level which. We can sort of earn a living if we wanted to over there, but it's not gone much further. That's why we're pushing out into the rest of the world. And I don't know what's going to happen with this record, really. I mean, we really need to get some radio and, you know, try and widen the audience a lot more with this next record. But yeah, it's a way off to the Shark Tank.
It's a long way.
Might have to get start with a goldfish bowl.
But it's a good song title. It's a long way to the Shark Tank.
Yeah. It is, isn't it? can I use that?
Yeah, give me a credit. Yeah.
That's
pretty
cool.
The next plans, well, you're recording, obviously.
Yeah.
You're writing songs. Are there any other big plans for another tour, another interesting one where people can see you again? Like, okay, we have somewhere in the pipe, there is an idea of touring with another big band here in Germany or whatever.
No, but we've got two festival appearances coming up.
Yeah.
Which is?
The Leipzig one. Is that, what's it called?
VGT?
Mm-hmm.
Leipzig, Dresden, Leipzig.
Leipzig.
Yeah.
And
the
festival
in Sweden and in Switzerland. Oh, okay.
But don't at me,
it's like
Grevenbroich. Oh, okay.
Something like that. I can't
remember
the name. I didn't do it.
I just
wrote it down in the email.
Just told them. Yeah. Not about you, but totally different question. Name a band where you want to play in, all of you, separately.
A band that we want to play in?
Yeah, well, create your own band. Dead people are allowed.
Oh, I see what you're saying, right? Your super group kind of thing. Fantasy super group.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Who's you have in it?
The best answer I ever got was, I'm playing in it right now.
That's good.
I don't know, that's a bit sugary, isn't it, really? I think I've got John Bonham. And Mozart, right, and keyboards,
yeah.
And then I'll have like one of the Disney characters, Pluto, playing stand-up bass. So completely fictional characters as well.
Yeah,
the rules
that's
there.
Totally fine.
Yeah, and he's a good singer.
What about?
Well, actually, in my fantasy band, I sing beautifully.
Well, you have Pluto. Well, you have Pluto on bass.
What about Russ Abbott?
Russ Abbott.
Russ Abbott.
Oh my god.
What?
I don't know.
So your band is more like a comic style band.
Pluto can slap bass.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Big hands, stuff.
Yeah,
around,
it's
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Like one of those things with a pole and a wash base and then a string.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good.
Wow.
sounds interesting. Okay, well, fuck that. Never mind. Is there anything right now where you say, okay, we've done 3 records now, this is kind of our music, for the next one, what you have in mind, what you want to change, something that you really want to do different, or like these obvious things, okay, we've got to do a little bit more of that, or a little bit more of that, try out what we can find, but is there kind of master plan when you go on a record?
Well, the one we've just recorded, there was a master plan, but I didn't quite, well,
it didn't expand,
it didn't, yeah, it didn't work, so, you know, so, I mean, so no, not really. I mean, I was, you know, going with an idea of what you want it to sound like, but it, I think you can't really contrive music in that way. You know, stuff comes up and you just think, well, that's really off, you know, the beaten track from, but I really like it, so we'll do it. So, I mean, on the new record that's coming, there's really a couple of things that I think are going to really surprise people. And I think that's really the overall plan, is to not restrict yourself. You know, if it's a good song, it's going to sound like you in a certain way, and you know, no matter what style it is, you know, what you do to it as three people playing is going to make it sound like Dive So Fluid. So why not do it? You know.
Do you keep, when you go songwriting, do you keep an eye on what the bands around you are doing, or do you try to keep yourself away from it totally, or do you just don't care?
Well, that I'll answer that.
You have to watch other people, but you know, you don't take a blind bit of notice of anything, really. You know, just make what records you want to make, and that's it. So you can't do anything else, really.
Just don't care.
I think it's, if you seriously, I think we tried to sort of structure it a bit more when we first started, and it didn't really work. You know, as soon as we thought, right, we can do anything we want, any styles, do it, right, suddenly it's more interesting. People seem to like it more.
Yeah, I think, you know, the at the end of the day, the music by in public, or punters, as we prefer to call them. Yeah. They're not stupid, cool. and punters.
Oh, that's a word I don't know.
Yeah, okay, it's just an English expression, but
yeah.
But they're not stupid, and if you're up there and you've contrived, you know, something, it's not really from the heart, then, you know,
that shows.
It's not very long before they find that out, you know, and I think it's more interesting to people to, you know, for something genuine.
Yeah.
At least that's what I hope.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
It's a good hope. Yeah. It's worth believing it. It's still,
yeah.
I think so too. Yeah. What's your best moment on stage? Is there a point where you are looking forward? Say, okay, when we've done like the first 3-4 songs, I'm in it. I'm fine. Or is it right away the whole show a great experience? Or is there a special song where you say, okay, the drummer always fucks up at that point, or, you know, doing something funny, or that's going to be cool? Or...
There isn't, like, one thing that happens the same every time. It's always a bit different.
So that's
a
good thing.
I know what you mean, though. It's like, is that point you're talking about, second or third song, where you're used to the sound and everybody's warmed up and...
I would say it takes, like, 2 songs.
Yeah, it takes about 2 songs.
To really, like, get yourself sorted out, and then you feel kind of happy.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, just to key into the sound, because it's...
Feel safe and okay, it's working.
Yeah, you know, or at least, you know, you can make it work by that point. Because you're used to what's going on, you know, what's going to happen.
Well, especially at this stage, because we're very new to a lot of people, so it takes that little bit of time for them to kind of get you, you know, and then you can kind of feel it when they kind of warm to you as well, so that makes you feel more at home as well.
I'm sure you play concerts or gigs at home where people know you right away and know your songs, right?
Yeah.
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 Is it better playing those gigs, or is it more interesting or cooler playing gigs in front of people who haven't heard your name before?
It's
obviously, it's better if people are cheering for you before you even got on stage.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Then obviously, that's what you want. You know, you can just come on stage and just stand there for 5 minutes going,
yeah.
You know, and
but if you go from like a crowd of people that don't know you, and they're just kind of going like this, staring at you, like, you know, come on, impress us. And then by the end, you've won them all over, and they're all going crazy. Then that's hugely rewarding. So that's a different kind of plane of coolness.
How did you guys got into music in the first place? Not with this band, but anyway, what was the reason once in your life where you said, okay, I'm going to be a musician? Like you said in the first place, you've been thinking all the time about why don't I do something useful?
Well, it's I think it's one of those things where you just want, like, everybody in the world, they just want to be liked. And I remember going to see, you know, bands at a very early age, you know, and I mean, you know, feeling, you know, the great feeling I got from listening to live music and seeing people play music live, and then seeing everybody else just sort of really loving these people for entertaining them. And you know, that's it. You just want to be up there. You want to be the entertainer. You know, you want everybody to love you. So I think it's a basic thing like that. And then obviously once you start playing an instrument and you get the enjoyment you know, you get from actually playing, that's the next thing. I mean, it certainly never was about, you know, cars and swimming pools and all that shit.
Luckily.
Well, luckily, yeah. It's not really going that way. So.
Comes to the point fine, but... Sure. Are there any idols? Would you say, no, we don't have any idols. We have our own idea. We don't need idols.
Oh.
We all have, you know, heroes.
Yeah, you know, Peter Cook.
People who are inspiring.
Yeah.
Who?
Oh, you know, Dudley Moore. Actors.
Okay.
But who else? In music people? Yeah, I have a few. I wouldn't want to meet them though.
Have you met one of them already? Or?
Well, everyone I know meets people. There's always some disappointment.
Mm. Not always though. I mean, that's really true.
It's a bit of a risk though.
Yeah, because you want to keep some of your heroes as up there and slightly untouchable. And sometimes you meet them and they kind of destroy your image of them and it's shattered.
Yeah.
Which is just hugely disappointing. But I don't know, I've met a few of mine. One of them's like Chino Marino from the Deftones.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really cool, so I was really glad. In fact, like, all the band were just really friendly and down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
I did some session work playing with Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, cool.
And he's the coolest one of the family. And
I guess we all thought so.
Yeah.
Obviously.
But yeah, I don't know. Who are your heroes, Drew?
David Bowie. And you know, and that was definitely a case I don't want to meet him. You know, because although I had the opportunity, because I was crewing for a band that was supporting him, actually in Berlin, and you know, I could have gone up to him and shook his hand and all that, but I was just like, you know what, don't really want to, because you know, it's just. You know, he's going to say, who the fuck are you,
yeah.
Sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, yeah, that's one to avoid. And, I can't, I mean, sort of out of people, most of the people that, you know, I really would admire, you know, like really put up on that status of, like, you know, hero in music, they're dead, so, you know. There's no chance of meeting them for, well, I don't know. Where I'm going next. But, you know.
Did you ever get Right Said Fred in this country?
Well, we had them, but I don't think anybody really understood them.
Yeah. But you had that one song, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we had two. Yeah.
They
had two singles.
Yeah, okay. No, I got into a dispute with them, with the guy over parking. Do you remember that? No. When we went to get a record mastered at Will's brother's joint.
Yeah.
And I parked in Right Said Fred's studio parking space, and he came and left a note on my car. And it just I wish I'd kept it. It just said, you're in my space, not fucking cool. He signed it RSF.
You're in my space now.
You're okay. Not fucking cool. RSF.
Great. And you didn't keep it?
I didn't think so. It's really stupid.
Do you have a ritual, a kind of ritual before you go on stage? A voodoo thing, spinning at each other, whatever?
No.
Not really.
Oh, we're near Joe having a Red Bull there. It's our latest thing.
Yeah, right. That's a real ritual.
It is for me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, it's very helpful. But,
yeah.
It's quite difficult. I find that the first week
for those solos.
Yeah, the first week of the tour is always like the hardest. You know, like you should be like tired more. You know, a month into a tour, but it's the adjustment, the initial adjustment. Yeah, the initial adjustment's got really difficult. So I get very tired the first week. So
I just have a makeup ritual.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long does it take you to go on stage?
It doesn't actually take that long. I've heard some people need like at least 2 hours and stuff like that. I think I need about like, I don't know, half an hour or something.
An hour and 55 minutes.
Is it? Have you timed me?
No, no.
Oh, okay. No, but it's just actually quite a cool time to just prepare and be quite quiet.
Yeah. So you need to prefer to be alone then, or?
Yeah, actually.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't like spit at anyone if they come near me or anything like that, but it is quite good to actually kind of go into the zone before you go on.
Yeah.
Just concentrate.
Yeah.
That's how I feel anyway.
Yes.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. So.
Okay.
Exactly. Oh, I don't know. Can I go now? No, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
You're very welcome.
When do you have to go on stage?
9 o'clock.
Mm. Mm. So, do you know what?
Time for a few beers.
Thank you very much, Dice Flu. Very good rest of the tour.
Thanks, man.
Jeez.
But one last question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you looking forward to go home?
Not yet, no.
Good, thank you.
We're staying.
All right.